The Enron bankruptcy has revealed the cozy relationship between corporations and their supposedly independent auditors, the accountants who certify that a corporation's financial statements are on the up and up. It seems as if everyone has a proposal for changing that relationship, from regulators and congressmen to shareholders and academics, NPR's Barbara Mantell reports.
One change is already underway. Several accounting firms have said they will no longer offer consulting services to the corporations they audit. But almost no one thinks that's enough to eliminate all the conflicts of interest. There are other reasons why an auditor might be reluctant to challenge a corporate client. One is that it's probably his only client and has been for years. John Macy is a professor of securities law at Cornell University.
If a major client leaves, then the partner in charge of auditing that client is dealt a severe blow to his or her reputation. That person can go to work for another partner within the firm on somebody else's audit team, but they're no longer a boss, or they may actually lose their job.
Some critics say this is why corporations should be made to change auditors every 5 years or so. But that won't help, some say, if corporate managers continue to be the ones who hire the auditor. Sarah Teslick is the executive director of the Council of Institutional Investors, which represents large shareholders.
It is the same situation that you would have if fifth graders were allowed to hire and fire their teachers. You would rapidly discover that all fifth graders got all A's.
Teslick would like to see a corporation's board of directors, instead of company management, do the hiring. Trial attorney Melvin Weiss would like to see a company's board also limit or ban another common practice, the revolving door. There's nothing to stop an auditor from taking a job with a client. Weiss is a senior partner at Milberg Weiss, and he's probably sued more public accounting firms than any other trial lawyer.
I don't care what major auditing scandal you look at, you're going to find huge revolving door issues. I'm not exaggerating. In every one.
Weiss argues that auditors' independence is compromised when they know they can eventually move to a job at a corporate client, and he says they can be pressured by former colleagues who have already moved on. If audit committees of corporate boards were to close the revolving door, hire and rotate auditors, and generally be tougher on management, it would require a big change in most corporate cultures. At Enron, shareholders are suing the board of directors and the audit committee for allowing management to get away with all sorts of aggressive accounting methods. Paul Brown is the chairman of New York University's accounting department. Brown has spoken with members of audit committees, and he says they're asking themselves this question.
What have we done wrong in the past? Could we have been in a similar situation as the audit committee of Enron? And members that I speak to are sheepishly, quietly saying yes.
Brown says audit committee members know that it cannot be business as usual. He says the intense public scrutiny will force them to change.
They just do not want to see their names in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal as to their egregious actions as an audit committee member.
But it probably won't be left to public pressure alone. Legislation has been introduced in Congress to require audit committees, and not management, to fire and hire auditors. But even if the relationship between corporations and auditors can be put more at arm's length, there will always be the need for discipline and oversight of auditors. In the past, that has typically been done by an industry-funded private group, and critics say not done well at all. This may be the most contentious issue. A House Republican has introduced legislation that would require the Securities and Exchange Commission to create a new industry-funded private group. The chairman of the SEC says that's fine, but the group should be independently funded. Others say get rid of private oversight altogether. Sarah Teslick of the Council of Institutional Investors asks, why shouldn't the government be responsible for discipline and oversight?
Why shouldn't the SEC? Why shouldn't the Justice Department? After all, if accountants commit crimes, they should be charged criminally. If they break the securities laws, the SEC has an enforcement division.
Congress will be weighing these alternative approaches, and it will get more recommendations when a presidential panel issues its report. In the meantime, shareholders will be watching to see what corporations and accounting firms do on their own. Barbara Mantell, NPR News, New York.